I'm Kevin Kelly. The show's Live and Local, your connection to local music and more. On the program today, violinist, violist, composer Elaine Fine. She and pianist John David Moore will be giving a recital in Mattoon this week, and we'll hear details and some musical samples coming up on Live and Local. The famous so-called Little Fugue in G minor by Johann Sebastian Bach, performed here by the Los Angeles Guitar Quartet in their own arrangement, heard on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Played that for a couple of reasons. First, on tomorrow evening at Illinois State University, there's going to be a recital by the Illinois State University Guitar Ensemble at Kemp Recital Hall. In Normal, that's 7:30 tomorrow night. I thought I'd give a little plug for those folks. We actually had them on this show, all, how many of them was it at the time? 16 or 17 guitarists, something like that, quite some months ago in the spring semester. Maybe we'll have them back another time. And also because the subject of today's conversation, which is a recital by violinist Elaine Fine and pianist John David Moore. It's going to be at Lakeland College in Mattoon. I earlier said it was this week. It's next Monday, the 2nd of November. Includes some music by Johann Sebastian Bach on it. Kind of unusual sonata for violin and keyboard. We'll hear some samples later on in a fine recording. That recital also includes some other unusual, hardly ever played music by Sir Granville Bantock and Cesar. I've always said Cui, but Elaine tells me it's supposed to be Sui, and now I have to look this up. In any event, Elaine Fine is with me in the studio here today on Live and Local. Thanks for coming up.
It's a pleasure to be here.
You've got an interesting background of your own. I'm not sure I knew all of these things about you. I knew you played violin, and of course I know you play viola because you have done so in lots of organizations that I either know about or am a part of. I know you did tell me that you had a degree in flute performance from Juilliard, but you actually started violin.
Right,
the violin.
Yeah.
And recorder, Baroque flute, composition. I know that you write music. How have you managed to stick with all of these things? I mean, you've picked them all up, and you still do them all at some level, right?
Well, I don't really play modern flute anymore, and I don't play Baroque flute very often, though I can, but nobody's asked me to do it for a while. So, I started with violin when I was a kid, and I played about as well as a kid who doesn't practice much.
What, you're like fourth grade or something
like
that?
Yeah, fourth grade, fifth grade, and then sixth grade, there was a choice between All-City Chorus and All-City Orchestra, and my friends were in All-City Chorus, and I felt that I was not a very good violinist because I had many, many reasons, but I had a brother who was a really good violinist, and I sort of felt inferior, and I just kind of let it go.
And he was older, I presume.
Oh, of course. And then when I got to be about 13 or 14, I really wanted to play again. And I figured that I had bombed out on the violin and started playing the flute. But I was kind of late at starting the flute. So I practiced like crazy and became a pretty decent flutist as a kid, and thought that I could play all the violin music that I really wanted to play on the flute. And so I started doing that often, and I went to Juilliard, and my teacher, Julius Baker, kind of enjoyed that because he had been a violinist as a kid. But it sort of got a little bit obsessive. I really didn't care that much about flute music, and I cared a great deal about string music. But I went on to the world of professional fluting, and when I had a job in Austria teaching at a music school, And one of my jobs was to teach recorder, and I had never played recorder. And there was a recorder sitting in the drawer, and I had to learn it in a week or two. And at the same time, I had to learn German. And so...
Well, I was going to say, that's a common thing until you said having to learn German. I've talked to a number of people who are usually elementary school teachers, and they're supposed to then teach recorder. And they had never taught recorder either. So what do? You just kind of stay a step ahead of your students or try to?
Well, I actually kind of fell in love with the instrument. And so I spent all my time practicing it. And then I left the job in Austria and went to study recorder in Vienna. And while I was studying in Vienna, somebody handed me a Baroque flute, and I found it impossible to play. And then when I got back to Boston, I encountered one again and started playing it, started working on it, and found that I really enjoyed playing the instrument. And I really enjoy, I had this idea of playing all music for the instrument it was written for. So I would play recorder music on the recorder and Baroque flute music on the Baroque flute, and then 20th century music on the modern flute. And that went on for a while until I moved out here and there wasn't much modern flute stuff to do, so I concentrated mostly on my own Baroque flute and recorder playing. And then I got kind of tired of the Baroque period. I really wanted to play Romantic music. And
I shouldn't say this, but I can understand that.
Well, you know, when you're boxed in, it's very difficult to get out of the box. And it takes a certain amount of courage to then start a new instrument to be able to play the music that you really want to play. And so it happened. My daughter had been playing the violin. My father sent a 3/4 size violin over, or he brought it over, and he lives in Boston, and so he came with this instrument. I picked it up, I started to play it, and I realized I could still play the violin. Maybe because I had been working with my daughter when she was, you know, very small, learning to play. And then I thought, you know, this is really what I want to do. And I told the orchestra director at Eastern, I had been playing flute in the orchestra previously, I said, you know, I really want to play the violin.
And who was that at the time?
His name was Don Tracy. He's since retired. And I got a full-size violin from a student, and I showed it to Don, and he said, you know, this needs some work. And he gave me his violin, brought me orchestra music, and told me, you know, orchestra rehearsal is on Wednesday. You're perfectly welcome to play in the orchestra. So here I could barely, I mean, I was playing the violin like a fifth grader who hadn't practiced for 10 years or 15 years. And so I started doing it. And then I found a good teacher. It turned out that in Mattoon, Tom Levesque, who was a member of the St. Louis Symphony, was living there. And I took some lessons from him. And that went on for about a year or so until I bought a viola at a garage sale for $100. And Tom and I thought it might be fun to have some friends come over and play quartets. And we sort of switched instruments around. I could read the alto clef because I had musical training, and it sounded best when I played the viola because you couldn't hear the viola very well in a quartet. And we became a string quartet. And my friends were so kind that they allowed me to play with them as an adult beginner. And
this was how long ago?
Oh, this must have been maybe 14, 15 years ago. And, it's actually about 16 years ago, because I remember Terry Colton was the second violinist when we were playing. And her twins had just been born. They're 16 now. Her twins had just been born when we played together for the first time. And, or maybe they're almost 16. At any rate, then I started playing in this quartet, so the lessons sort of stopped, and I learned from my friends, from my colleagues. And I played viola pretty exclusively for quite a while. And I met John David, the pianist I play with, John David Moore, who works with my husband in the English department at Eastern Illinois University. John David is an English professor. And he had been playing with Don Tracy in the Eastern Trio, which was the faculty chamber ensemble. And they sort of went cross-department. And John David, being in the English department, still played with the trio. And John David, when Don Tracy retired, John David was free to play chamber music. And so I just said, you know, would you like to play some viola and piano music? And we started playing viola and piano music. And that went on for a couple of years. We gave a few concerts. And one day John David said, you know, it's too bad you don't play the violin. I said, well, actually, I do. I have one. You know, I could practice it. And then we started on the violin repertoire. And that's where we are right now.
You know, I'm just trying to imagine how much time you must have been spending on each of these instruments as you've gone along. I mean, it sounds like it's almost an obsessive sort of thing, where you decide, okay, now I'm going to do this one, and then you would have to practice it furiously, I think, to get at the level to play the sort of stuff have played and are playing.
That's true.
I mean, you can't just casually pick it up. I mean, lots of people listening to this conversation might say, well, I'm an adult. I've tried picking up the violin, and I've been playing it for 15 years, and I really stink still. And you don't.
I guess it's because I practice really well. And when I started playing, I've always been a late starter. And I understand that when you start something late, you have to figure out a way to eliminate the bad habits and the pitfalls and the lack of courage that you get when you go through life as a normal musician with its ebbs and flows. And so with practicing viola, I really did put in 3 hours a day, every day. And most of them on technique and scales and arpeggios. And I guess because I was in the company, and still am, I still do this. When I'm playing in the company of people who have much greater ability than I do. And so I have to rise to the occasion. And rising to the occasion, it's become a habit.
I hope that there are some string teachers and not likely string students, younger string students listening, given the time of day it is, and heard you say that you practice lots of scales and arpeggios. Because as a director of a youth orchestra here in town, I'm always astounded at the number of students who don't learn those things, not knowing, because they're apparently not taught it, how much it helps you technically and musically. It helps you to learn things faster than
it's
you
vital.
Would do without knowing how to do that stuff.
What I've found recently, I changed my regime. You know, it's funny, when I played the flute, we used to practice the flute 3 hours a day at least, half of them on scales and arpeggios and etudes, my little brother would exclaim with excitement, "You changed your order," when I changed the order of the way I would
wow.
do things. And I try and mix it up every once in a while. And I have some etude books that I have marked with little numbers, and I go through and make sure I cover these whole books in the course of about a 6-month period. So I've played every possible configuration and worked on every possible configuration that I would ever find in any piece of music. But lately, I've been into modal scales, and which is...
That's another conversation just about.
Well, every scale, if you play a G major scale going from G to G, you cover going from G to G. But in music, scales happen starting from other notes besides the tonic. So if you play a G major scale starting from an A, you have it's a different feeling on the instrument, and it's a different sense of how to get from one note to the next. And then this is something which is a difference between the violin and viola. And people ask sometimes, what's the difference between the violin and the viola? When you play the viola, you tend to practice slowly. The instrument doesn't respond as quickly as the violin. So you tend to practice slowly which means you tend to not practice fast. So playing the violin gives the opportunity to work for some kind of speed. And with the music that we're playing, particularly on this concert, speed is important. And so I've been practicing my modal scales quickly with the metronome to raise the speed.
On the violin.
On the violin. Yes.
Of course, there's the other way, that the other big difference between the viola and the violin.
Which is? No, it's a different pitch.
The viola burns longer.
That's right.
I never remember these jokes, but that just occurred to me. You said earlier that you've been a bit of a late starter in all of these different instruments and generally musically speaking. Guess who else was a late starter in writing chamber music? One of the composers on your program, according to the notes to this music by Sir Granville Bantock.
Sir Granville Bantock, yes.
Yeah, so how's that for a almost non sequitur?
Well, he started writing. He's a very interesting composer. He was a conductor and a pianist. And so he had the opportunity to write for large groups and actually be able to work with huge orchestration, which is great fun when you have a large ensemble to work with. But chamber music he really came to when he in his later years. And I find it very interesting because the music itself is huge. It's sort of informed by Wagner, and it's
you're talking about Bantock's music in general.
Bantock's music in general. He sets large epic pieces. He set the entire Song of Songs, the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam in the Fitzgerald translation in English. It's very esoteric and draws from a whole bunch of non-Western kinds of musical thinking. I would say in this way, it's British esoteric music. And Bantock unfortunately was forgotten except for a few of his songs, which are constantly sung by students because of the technical demands that the particular songs have, and voice teachers like that, and a few of his orchestral pieces, and then choral pieces people still sing. But this chamber music is very, very rarely played.
This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly talking with Elaine Fine. From Charleston, originally from Boston. For the purposes of the recital that we're talking about, she's a violinist. She's performing with pianist John David Moore, who actually teaches English at Eastern Illinois University, giving a recital next Monday night at Lakeland Community College. Concert starts at 7:30. And among the pieces on the program, the second violin sonata by Sir Granville Bantock, Elaine brought along a recording of, you said you think is the only recording.
Oh, it definitely is the only recording. It was made in 2002. The first time that this music has been recorded, it was published in 1940 and played on the radio for the first time for the BBC, but it was during wartime. And for some reason, the piece just fell through the cracks, and it's very difficult. Both technically for the musicians and musically. It's structured in a way that becomes clear after you've worked on the piece for quite a while. But it's esoteric music.
Here is, I think you suggested the second movement.
Yes.
From Bantock's second violin sonata. The performers here, and this is the world premiere recording and still seems to be the only one, by violinist Lorraine McCaslin and pianist Michael Dusek, heard on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Beautiful second movement of the second violin sonata, the second of two, by Sir Granville Bantock, English composer who was born in 1868, died in 1946, and best known, when he's known at all, for some of his choral pieces and some orchestral pieces. Performance here was the world premiere recording and still seems to be the only one of by violinist Lorraine McCaslin and pianist Michael Dussek. You can hear the complete sonata in performance next Monday night, the 2nd of November, in Mattoon at Lakeland Community College, played by our guest on today's Live and Local, violinist Elaine Fine. She'll be joined by pianist John David Moore, who teaches not music but English at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston. They're also doing some music by Cesar Cui or Sui. I have always heard Cui, so I'm really going to have to find this out from some other sources as well. And also some music by Bach on the program, which we'll sample in just a little bit. We'll come back to our conversation here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. 49 degrees at 12:33. I'll have a forecast for you at 1 o'clock. News headlines from NPR at 101. Julie Amacher has more classical music for you at 106. And our programs today are made possible with support from Sinfonia da Camera, presenting Exploring the New World on Saturday, November 7th at 7:30 p.m. in the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. More information is available at 333-6280. Some other events, musical and otherwise, that you can go see and hear in our listening area include these. At Illinois State University, a faculty two piano recital with Paul Borg and Carlin Marinas. That is tonight at 8 o'clock at Kemp Recital Hall. I believe it's... It's the Center for the Performing Arts and in Normal. At the Iron Post tonight and tomorrow night in downtown Urbana, some jazz vocalists from the University of Illinois. The program tonight is at 7 and tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Annie Rossi and Mason Jennings are performing at the High Dive in downtown Champaign tonight at 8:30. A jazz saxophone quartet will be performing at Jim Gould's in downtown Champaign tonight at 7:30. It's part of downtown Champaign's Happy Tuesday activities. I'm not sure I knew about Happy Tuesday. The Virsky Ukrainian National Dance Company is at the Krannert Center in Urbana tomorrow night at 7:30. I mentioned earlier the Illinois State University Guitar Ensemble performing at Kemp Recital Hall tomorrow night at 7:30. Illinois State University faculty clarinetist David Greshman performing tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at the Center for the Performing Arts in Normal on the Illinois State University campus. Champaign Central High School is performing Stephen Sondheim's Sweeney Todd Wednesday through Saturday at 7:30. And a Sunday matinee at 2:30. The Parkland Jazz Improv class is performing at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana tomorrow night at 5:30. And looking ahead just a bit, the musical Camelot is coming to the University of Illinois Assembly Hall in Urbana. That is Thursday, one night only, at 7:30. Those are just some of the activities in our area. There are many more. Always check out your local entertainment pages. And we will eventually have our calendar up on the website. It's probably not going to happen for a little while yet, but it is certainly our goal. We invite you to send us your performing arts calendar items to willcalendar@illinois.edu. That's W-I-L-L calendar@illinois.edu. And let us know about your organization. If you think I haven't heard of it or we haven't exposed your group to our listening audience, we would certainly like the opportunity to do that. Elaine Fine and John David Moore giving their recital next Tuesday at Lakeland Community College.
Monday.
You know, I keep doing that. I'm thinking Monday and I'm saying Tuesday. I did that to the folks yesterday where it was a Friday recital and I kept saying Saturday. Thank you very much. Monday, the 2nd of November. You want to talk a little bit about the piece we're not going to be able to hear because neither of us has a recording of it, this piece by the Russian composer whose name I now no longer want to pronounce because I've been saying it wrong for 20 years.
I had too, but John David presented him as Sui, and I believe what John David says. But when you think about the Caesar, the C that right. begins his first name, you would think that the C that begins his last name would be the same.
Maybe, maybe not. Could be like English, and they change depending on what the vowel is that follows.
That's true. But it is Russian, which I do not read.
Nor I. So if there are any Russian speakers, listeners, particularly musicians, and you know the answer to the question, call me at WYLL sometime or drop me a note. Anyway, tell us about this music.
Well, the interesting thing about Cesar Sui is he was the only member of the Mighty Five who wrote music for violin and piano. And the Mighty Five consists of Sui, Balakirev, Mussorgsky, Rimsky-Korsakov, and Borodin.
Yeah, I can never get those five. I'm impressed.
Well, Sui is the one everybody forgets.
I usually forget at least one of the others, too.
But it's interesting. The group was made, it was Balakirev and Sui were the founders of the group. And Sui was not a musician by profession.
Neither were some of the
Borodin,
others. Yeah.
Neither was Rimsky-Korsakov. They all came from different areas. And Sui was actually, he was an engineer. And he was a professor of engineering, and he worked with the military. And I have he was an expert on military fortifications. And he and Balakirev gathered these other amateur composers like Borodin, who was a chemist, and Rimsky-Korsakov, who was in the Navy. And they decided they would create a Russian nationalist music that would incorporate ideas of folk music, Russian folk music, and they had certain systems of modal writing that they used, but nobody wrote chamber music for violin and piano except for Sui. And then the other interesting thing is this music has not been available in the West for very long, because consider the difficulty with getting music, with getting anything from a library in Russia if you were in America during the years of the Cold War or during the whole first part of the 20th century. So this music, John David actually found on the latest, both of our latest website obsessions, which is the Petrucci Music Library, which is online. It has 38,000 pieces of music that are in the public domain. And Sui's music is on there, and this sonata is there, so we found
this
it.
This is a recording library.
This is a music library.
Okay.
It's music which was published, was in libraries, and is now in the public domain. And librarians all over the world are scanning this stuff in and sending it into this vast online library for no charge. The people who work for this project do it out of their own free will. And it's amazing.
I'm going to write this down. What is this called?
Petrucci Music Library.
Petrucci.
Like the publisher, Petrucci. And you can find anything on there. As a matter of fact, the piece that we played with the Prairie Ensemble last weekend, the Saint-Saëns Septet.
Septet, that's on there?
Not only is it on there, it was a featured score of the week.
What, last week?
Yes.
No kidding.
No kidding. So I could go and look at the score online. It had score and parts. It's amazing.
If only we'd have known.
I know. I could correct some typos that were in my part in a later edition.
So this is handy for, listeners out there who play or even are just interested in things. There you go. I'm gonna look this up.
Oh, you will. When I told John David about it, the next rehearsal, he had his piano stacked with music. So we've been reading through this music. Some of it is just sensational music. And the Sui Sonata is such a piece. We played through it and we said, we have to perform this. This is a wonderful piece of music. It's Russian the way Tchaikovsky is Russian. The slow movement is sort of like the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto slow movement. Certainly thematically and emotionally, and I would say also as far as quality.
And very tuneful if it's like Tchaikovsky.
Oh, the whole thing is very tuneful. And it's a surprise to find that this music is sitting there for free. They're available for musicians to play. It's a revelation. I think this is probably the greatest thing about the internet for musicians, is this library. And then the other archive is the Werner Icking Music Archive, which has older music. The Petrucci Library at this point is pretty much 18th century, 19th century, 20th century. And then the Werner Icking Archive has Renaissance music, medieval music, and then also 20th century music. All for free, all done with musicians simply sharing what they have.
Incredible.
It
something
is.
Something to explore. Well, you know, I think while we're listening to some Bach, which we're going to do in just a couple of minutes here, maybe I'll go out to our music library. I know we don't have that piece that you're going to play, but see if I can pull up a couple of pieces by Mr. Swee and at least give some samples of what his music can sound like. The Bach piece that you're playing, I'm going to back up and say for those just tuning in, I'm wondering what we're talking about. Elaine Fine is my guest today on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. And she, with pianist John David Moore, are giving a recital next Monday night, the 2nd of November, at Lakeland Community College in Mattoon, 7:30 start. Is it a free program?
Yes.
Okay. So they just show up. Where at Lakeland, or will it be obvious? I've never been there.
It's in the administration building. It's the Lakeland College Theater.
And there are signs to point you to it?
There are signs to point you to it, kind of, sort of. It's on the...
Well, let's put it this way. Is there a number to call for information if anybody wants it?
I don't know it. But it's on the south side of the campus. Or if you go to the center of the campus and you look to see where people are walking, because there will not be people on the campus that night that are not going to the concert. So if you follow the crowd.
And you hope there will be a crowd.
I hope there will be a crowd.
Okay, so you're playing some music by Bach on that concert. How does that music fit in with these other pieces that nobody ever plays?
Well, the interesting thing about this Bach sonata, it's a sonata for violin and keyboard, and it has as its central movement a movement for keyboard alone. And it's the movement for keyboard alone is the longest piece and the longest movement of the sonata, and I think it's the best movement of the sonata. It's as if Bach wanted to somehow place this piece in a context. It's something, it's the quality of the Bach that we find in the partitas for keyboard. And the way that it's, so what's the violinist to do? Well, I'm going to sit down and listen. But a lot of violinists don't think in terms of taking a piece off, taking a movement off in their recital. But this is a duo recital. And John David doesn't get that much of an opportunity to play solo. So this gives him an opportunity to play a movement by himself that we can all enjoy.
There's five movements total.
Five movements. The center movement is flanked by these two slow movements, which are very short and very intense, almost cantata. Like intensity. It was written at a time when Bach was writing not religious music. He was writing secular music when he was working for the Prince Leopold from Kirchen. And it's religious Bach. It's cantata Bach that's flanking this this wonderful harpsichord, or piano in this case, solo movement. And then the outer movements are fast movements that are very Brandenburg-like. So we have three levels of Bach happening in one piece of music.
Brandenburg meaning the Brandenburg instrumental concerto.
Right.
Well, this performance of the three central movements, the center solo piece for keyboard, piano in this case, and then the two sort of religious slow movements on the outside are played by violinist Victoria Mulova and pianist Bruno Canino. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. performance of the three inner movements of the sonata BWV 1019, to be very precise, by Johann Sebastian Bach, Victoria Mulova performing on violin, and the pianist, who was mostly featured in that central movement for solo keyboard, Bruno Canino, here on WYLL's Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. The show's your connection to local music and more. And our guest today is Elaine Fine, violinist, violist, recordist, recorderist, Baroque flutist sometimes, modern flutist not so much anymore, composer, does lots of things, but for the purpose of our discussion, playing violin with pianist John David Moore at a recital next Monday night, the 2nd of November, at Lakeland Community College in Mattoon, which will include the complete sonata of Bach, also a sonata by Sir Granville Bantock, and what is the piece again by César Cui, which we actually, step back and say, we had a phone call from John Dunkelberger at the reference desk at Urbana Free Library, who was himself a Russian major, and assures us that it's César Cui, because in Russian that would be pronounced with a, spelled with a K, or whatever the Cyrillic equivalent is of a K. Is Cyrillic the alphabet, I think?
Yeah, that's the alphabet.
He'll probably correct me and say that's wrong, too. but in any way, I feel much better about that, as does Elaine.
Oh, because absolutely.
Now she has one on John David Moore, and she can go tell him, ha, ha, ha.
And I do know that it's, if it's a reference librarian who gives this information, you know it's correct.
Or they probably wouldn't risk their necks.
That's right.
And say it. In any event, what is the piece of César Cui that you're playing on the recital?
It's the sonata in G major for violin and piano.
So three sonatas on this program.
Yes.
I promised that I would try to find something else of his music. I did find one very short piece, kind of an encore piece that some violinists will use for violin and piano. This is an Oriental. It's one of 24 pieces by Cui called Kaleidoscope, and the violinist here is Midori with pianist Robert McDonald. The Oriental from Kaleidoscope by César Cui, played here by violinist Midori and pianist Robert McDonald. As a teaser, since we didn't have the Cui piece that is going to be on Elaine and John David's recital next week, but at least you have a little idea of what some of his music can sound like. On tomorrow's show, Live and Local, we'll have a couple of members of the Illinois Brass Quintet from the School of Music at the University of Illinois. They're giving their annual Halloween Spooktacular concert this Saturday. I'll actually be pleased to MC that, which should be a lot of fun. And also a program called The Beat Goes On, which is being presented by Charleston Alley Theater. Readings from the Beat Generation accompanied by live jazz music. We'll have some of those would-be Beat poets joining us on the show tomorrow, and we'll have them read to some jazz accompaniment. That's on tomorrow's Live and Local from 12 to 1. Our programs today are made possible with support from St. Joseph Apothecary in St. Joseph, a full-service pharmacy specializing in compounding medications to meet individual patient needs. St. Joseph Apothecary invites you to join them in supporting WYLL. And we have support from Parkland Art Gallery at Parkland College. The gallery's exhibitions and educational programs are offered free of charge to the public. Artist receptions, interviews with artists, and other special programs are offered to interpret the exhibits. Elaine, thanks very much for joining us on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. And next time we have you up for any reason, we'll have to hear some of your own music.
Okay.
Because I know you write some very nice things.
Actually,
we'll have to say that okay. For another time. Have a great recital, you and
okay.
John David both.
Okay.
Quick look at the weather. Cloudy with rain and patchy fog. The high around 50. Tonight, cloudy and foggy with rain in the evening, tapering to occasional showers and drizzle after midnight. The low 46. Tomorrow, cloudy early, becoming partly sunny, the high 62. It's 50 now. This is WYLL-FM and HD Urbana.